Welcome to Milwaukee Momcast, a podcast dedicated to real stories for real parents. Produced by Milwaukee Mom, we'll tackle a variety of topics in a way we hope will make you laugh, make you think, and remind you that this whole being a parent thing can be a little wild, but at least we're in it together. So, reheat your coffee, grab the headphones, and get comfy while we chat all things motherhood with a Midwest twist. Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah, the host of Milwaukee Momcast, and thank you for joining us for a rather unique and unprecedented episode. Technically, the show is still on hiatus in between seasons as we adjust to learning what life is going to look like. But we thought that now would be as good a time as any to create a special episode in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic. So for just kind of orienting ourselves here. I'm recording this episode in what I believe is the beginning of week 5 from where we're sitting of being either shelter at home or social distancing. For me, it kind of, I start counting from March 13th because that Friday was the day that my kids came home having gotten the news that they wouldn't be going back to school the following Monday. We had just gotten the news that the governor had closed schools through the whatever date it's going to be. I don't even know anymore. What day is it today? I honestly don't even know. But that was the day that they came home having found out like that they weren't going to be going back to school on Monday. So that for me was like, okay, day one, here we go. And I believe we're at week 5 since then of shelter in place, a whole new version of normal that has made parenting really challenging. I wanted to lean into that a little bit. I wanted to take some time to pause, to talk about it, and to invite other people to do the same. Because there is an overwhelming amount of information out there right now when it comes to the coronavirus and flattening the curve and if the efforts are making a difference, if they're not, and all of that. Like, and from day one, we have had to sift through and deal with an incredible amount of information coming at us like drinking out of a fire hose. And so today I wanted to slow us down a little bit, recap some of the things that have been happening over the last couple of weeks, and then just kind of share the stories that we received from our Milwaukee Mom team about what life has looked like for them the last few weeks and bring you hopefully a little bit of encouragement in these crazy times. Okay, parents, from day one, when the coronavirus pandemic sort of hit our news feeds and entered our world, we have been inundated with resources and guides and posts and Pinterest boards and suggestions from our friends on how on earth we are going to get through this with our kids. And honestly, our website has been part of that because when we are faced with an unprecedented situation, our goal is to immediately respond and provide our audience with the resources that they are going to need. But I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in being somebody who very quickly became overwhelmed with the amount of information that I was constantly being shown and that I was reading over and over and over again. I couldn't scroll through my social media feed without seeing everything from 45 easy science experiments to do with your kids to the list of all of the educational resources that were going to be at my fingertips to virtual field trips to scavenger hunts to you name it, it was all there. Everything from, here's how to turn your socks and some pencils and toothpicks and paint into a puppet. I don't know. But it was constantly coming at me. And it took me maybe, 36 hours to suddenly be like, A, I am completely unprepared for this and underqualified for this. B, my kids are going to suffer for this because I'm not good enough. I can't even, was I doing A's? Was I doing B's? Was I doing numbers? This is what quarantine has done to my brain. It's turned into mashed potatoes because right now I don't even honestly remember what sort of numbering system I was doing. So let's just go to thirdly. I don't know, you guys. Thirdly, it immediately made me feel like I wasn't working hard enough to provide what my kids were going to need in this unprecedented time, right? going into this, I already felt overwhelmed. I already felt like I wasn't doing enough as a parent. I was already feeling very inadequate. Now suddenly you have to be parent, work from home parent, crisis virtual homeschooling teacher, mental health counselor, and also keep your own stuff together. Also, by the way, figure out how you're going to adjust your life as an adult human to living in this whole new world under the, you know, veil of a pandemic. So like, oh, make sure you have your finances situated. Do you have this? Did you have a cushion? How are you going to adjust your budget? Da, 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 da. And like I said, I think it took me until about like 36 hours to like have my first breakdown and go, I'm not going to be able to do this. If that's you, you're not alone. And I think our first message that we have for you listening in this episode is, number one, you don't have to do all the things. Okay? You don't have to do all the things. There is amazing information out there. I know we're going into week five. Maybe you've been doing all the things for 4 weeks now and you're exhausted. Maybe for 4 weeks, you've been binging 7 hours of television a day in your yoga pants on the couch and you're like, things, what are things? I don't do things. Totally cool too. But for a lot of us, we have felt this pressure to do all the things, to do the science experiments, to pull off an egg hunt with our kids in the backyard when we can't go anywhere, to do the craft projects, to bake bread. I honestly need somebody to explain to me where the bread baking thing came from. Why is it that suddenly when we all have to shelter in place in our homes, bread baking becomes the thing? And this includes my house, you guys. Like, I think we didn't even get through the first week of shelter at home. And my husband had attempted a sourdough loaf. That was the most, it was so bad. It weighed as much as a brick. It was like gooey on the inside and super, it went right in the trash. It was so gross. But since then, I think he's baked three. I don't understand it. I don't get it. The grocery stores still have bread and grocery store shopping is still an essential trip. So why we wouldn't just buy whatever. That's just me. This is me trying to say we don't have to do all the things. We don't have to bake bread. You don't have to wear pants if you don't want to wear pants. You don't have to create a detailed schedule for your kids' learning. If they need that, great. Go for it. Do you need that? Great. Go for it. But you don't have to. If your kid needs a mental health day, take it. If you need a mental health day, take it. If you need several days where you're just like, oh my gosh, we are struggling to hang on today, we're going to watch Frozen 2 four times in a row. Okay? Do it. You don't have to do all the things. There are essential trips right now. There are essential workers. Those are the words that we're using. That's the vocabulary that suddenly has become part of our common conversation. Words like essential, words like distance, words like isolation and quarantine. This is not normal. So we don't have to do the normal things. Our world is no longer normal. But I want to come back to that word essential, because if we have essential trips and we have essential workers, we have essential tasks. And essential tasks include things like getting out of bed, drinking enough water, eating something, hugging our kids, maintaining our core relationships, caring for our mental health, you know, continuing to move a little bit every day, and just getting through it in whatever way we need. What is not essential are detailed, broken down, specific, amazing, excelling things that make this into some sort of magical time. Like, spoiler alert, this is not a magical time, everybody. Can we make it better for our families, for our kids, by being present? Yes. Can we get through it and feel like, man, I crushed that? Absolutely. But the pressure that we're putting on ourselves to do all the things is going to be very detrimental to that. So give yourself a break. Let go of that expectation that you have to do all the things, okay? Take a minute, take a break. On that same note, the second message that our parents, that our core group of parents have really wanted to communicate to everybody is this: be aware, but not overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but I can't open up my social media on my phone or watch the news or even talk to anybody. Like, even if I have a FaceTime conversation or a Zoom call with somebody, this this pandemic, this new way that we live, is the only thing we're talking about. I have been guilty of Googling the new numbers for my state almost every single day and watching the graph go up, 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 just waiting to see that stinking line start to flatten, because as soon as it starts to flatten, I'm going to have that hope that maybe we're just maybe we're doing something right and this will be over. And we're inundated with post after post and news article after news article about, are we flattening the curve? Oh, now the state parks are closed because people weren't social distancing enough. And this person, you know, posting memes about how, you know this, know that, know this. And it gets to be so overwhelming. And then it can really bog us down the same way that the expectation of doing all the things can bog us down. Do we need to be aware? Absolutely. Do we need to understand our responsibility as citizens and as neighbors? Of course we do. But be aware, but not overwhelmed. If you are starting to feel overwhelmed, if you are starting to dive into this hole mentally where you're feeling crushed by the responsibility of it all, by the overwhelming nature of it all, by the just negativity, and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot think about this for one more minute, close your computer, put down your phone, do something else. Be aware, but not overwhelmed, because it is going to just put this cloud over us mentally where we're not going to be able to do any of those essential things if we are feeling too overwhelmed. And I think I've probably had, oh goodness, what are we on? Week 5? I know I keep asking that, but I honestly don't know. I think probably 3 or 4 like really good sessions of sobbing tears of frustration, just letting it out, because it's the only way that I've had to really get those feelings out and process them. The third thing, do what you can, not what you think you should. Now, hear what I mean by that. I am a firm believer that the word should can be very dangerous. For me, it's very often something like, well, I should be a better mom. I should be a better wife. Well, I should be able to fit in 4 workouts every week and blah, blah, blah. I should be able to do this in my work. I should be able to, should. We have this expectation set up for ourselves in the word should that can be very hard to shake. And so now we go into this whole new environment, this whole new world where we're having to live in a way that we've never lived before, follow rules that we've never had to follow before, and it's really freaking hard. And if we're constantly going in the shoulds rather than what I can, we're gonna wear out and we're gonna have a real problem. So do what you can, not what you think you should. We're always talking about that, you know, we always hear that oxygen mask metaphor, right? Where, you know, you have to put on your own oxygen mask, you have to put on your, before you can do it for somebody else, because if you've got nothing left, it's hard to give to others. I don't know that I've ever felt that so acutely as recently, these last few weeks. There have been so many days where by like 9 a.m., I'm just like, guys, to my kids, my sons, I'm like, I've got nothing left. I am spent. I am done. I don't know what else to tell you other than the fact that I'm already spent for today. So we've got to make some adjustments here, and we're just going to do what we can. We're not going to check every box off today on your virtual learning checklist, worksheet, thingamajiggy. We are not probably going to, you know, accomplish baking the bread. That's kind of related to the first one. But doing what we can and being okay with that. And last but not least, to a certain extent, not every day, but some days, throw out the rules. I'm not talking about all the rules, but some of them. If you've had a rule in your house before the world turned upside down that you had, I don't know, an hour of screen time maximum per day, throw that rule out. Just give it a try, test drive it, see how it feels and see what you think. Right now, that's a rule that you can probably toss out for a time. We've thrown out so many rules at this point that I can't even count anymore. So to a certain extent, if you've got some rules in place pre-pandemic that just are not working for your life anymore, throw them out. Try something different, see how it goes. And if that doesn't work, adjust again. We're all having to be more flexible. Now, are there some rules that we have to follow brand new right now that are protecting people, of course, keeping your distance, making sure that you're taking the measures that we need to when you have to go out on those essential trips. Those are all different rules that we have to follow now to for the safety of everybody. But the rules that we're applying to ourselves, we've got to toss those out if they're not working for us. I saw on Instagram this last weekend that we need to let go of any and all judgments or assumptions about anybody, including ourselves, about weight gain during a pandemic. Because, and I think it was so well spoken, she was saying that if we gain weight, if we put on a few pounds during this pandemic, then we are the lucky ones. So I'm just going to read this for you guys because this is kind of something that I'm really finding very encouraging. This is from The Bird's Papaya. Her name is Sarah Nicole. She's a Canadian blogger. She said, if what you come out of this pandemic with is a few extra pounds on your body, I hope you remember that makes us the lucky ones. And then she goes on to talk about how reasons you may gain weight during quarantine can include stress, less access to fresh food or groceries, financial disruption or lower income resulting in lower cost meals, more sedentary work style because you're working at home safely, emotions wreak havoc on our body, causing hormonal shifts and changes and things. Our body is responding to this. Other things like disordered eating or an eating disorder, mental health stress under such times, and choosing comforting things to help you cope with a pandemic, including food. And she finishes by saying, so before we make jokes about weight gain during a pandemic, consider that you may be making a joke about mental health, loss of wages, and access. Not to mention, studies show that being shamed for weight often causes more weight gain. So a rule that I am learning to throw out in this time is that my weight should stay the same, or I should lose weight, because obviously you want to keep your body healthy and moving. If working out virtually is working for you and it's helping keep you sane and healthy, that's fantastic. If you're using this time to discover new ways to eat healthy and make awesome food choices, awesome, that's great. But if you are the kind of person that resonates with what I just read, please give yourself grace and understand that you are not breaking some sort of rule right now by emerging from quarantine with a couple extra pounds. Next, I want to share some stories from our team, our Milwaukee Mom team, from just kind of their experience of the last couple of weeks, some wins, some losses, some coping strategies, just kind of their real stories. And then we're going to end by actually talking with my 12-year-old son to get his take on how this has felt from his perspective. Depending on the age of our kids and their experience, it can feel very different. And when it comes to like preschool children and younger, it's a matter of keeping them entertained and sort of engaged that way throughout the day. With my middle schooler, it's been a lot more about emotional management. And so I want to talk with him a little bit about that later in the episode. But for now, we're going to dig into some of the stories from our Milwaukee Mom team.
Hi, I'm Mandy, and I'm the community coordinator for Milwaukee Mom. My husband, son, and I live on the south side of Milwaukee with my father, brother, and two dogs. This quarantine has been rough on us for so many reasons. My only child is lonely, and we're trying to still get in some learning without a real plan as his school system shut down without a warning. My husband is an essential worker and still working at an emergency room where he's seen some incredibly sad things. I've been thrust into full-time working from home, and it's been hard to transition. But this is a time of great uncertainty for all of us. It's also been a time where we've been able to slow down, and that's been incredibly necessary for my soul. I'm the type that equates busyness with happiness, and I'm learning that that's not the case. I'm learning that it's okay to simply survive during this time and not thrive. So that's my message to everyone who may need that permission. It's okay if the only thing you did today was exist. We're in this together, just separately.
Hello, my name is Natasha Lettner, and my family and I reside on Milwaukee's North Side. We're an interracial family of three, myself, my husband, and our toddler son, Osiris. And with this self-quarantine, what's been challenging is missing out on family time. Sunday dinners with the mother-in-law, you know, drinks and good home-cooked food, and being able to get together with friends on Thursday nights for wings at your favorite wing spot. You know, my husband and I are naturally homebodies, but it hits different when you're forced to be a homebody. If it wasn't for us getting out here, taking walks around the block, pushing the baby in the stroller to jog around the block, we will all lose our minds, you know. So it's brought us closer as a family. We're valuing our family time, finding different ways to stay occupied, but it's also just missing, you know, getting together with friends and family. I'll be glad when we are able to do that again.
This is Jackie in Jackson, Wisconsin. I am being safer at home with my husband and two of our four kids at our house in Jackson, Wisconsin. And that's kind of one of our biggest struggles right now is two of our kids, my two stepdaughters, are with their mother in Waupaca, where they're weathering out the storm. And it's been very rough. We haven't had them. We haven't seen them. We've talked to them. We've done some Zoom time with them, but they're not with us. And we're used to having them around here about 50% of the time. I'm also really struggling with not seeing my mom. She lives 10 minutes away, and we used to see each other every single day. She would pick my daughter up from school. She would help my kids with their homework while I was at work. And we've only seen her from a distance since all of this started because she has some health conditions that really make staying away from her very, very important right now. And my other struggle with this whole safer at home idea is being an introvert who can't really introvert. It's not easy being somebody who requires some downtime every single day to kind of recharge my batteries. I need that time away from everyone, and I can't get that. I can't get too far away from my kids or my husband or somebody needing something or kids getting on each other's nerves. So it's been a little bit of a challenge in that regard. But on the good side, safer at home for us has had some really good side to things. Every day, my husband and I make time to take an afternoon walk. And even though it's just around our neighborhood, it's really refreshing to get that time with him away from the kids, away from our house, and just talk and kind of vent a little bit about our work days, maybe. But to really kind of get all of that out of our system, I feel a little more connected to him after we come back from those walks every day. And I also feel like we're all four of us are getting a little better at reading each other's body language and when someone needs a little time away or when somebody needs a laugh or when somebody is kind of reaching the end of their rope. We're getting a little bit better. It's not perfect by any means, but it's better at being able to read each other. And just one other thing that's really positive about this experience is the money that we're saving. I don't have costs every day for parking. I am not buying gas twice a week. In fact, it's been more than a month since I've had to fill the tank in my van. And I'm not buying lunches out every single day. So if you factor all of that in, just on my spending, I'm probably saving $15 or $20 a day by not having to drive into the office.
Hi there, I'm Abby Dollar. I live in the Waukesha area. During this quarantine, I have felt all the same things as everyone else, with the fear, the uncertainty, the confusion, and we've just been coping the best we can. I would say the biggest challenges our family has faced having older teenagers in the house has been their inability to see their friends. Teenagers need their friendships, and watching them be sad and a little bit mad at times because they're being stripped of that connection has been challenging, and we have done our best to get through that with using technology, of course, like everyone else.
I would say another challenge has been with everyone working at home, my toddler just wants to hang out with everyone. And keeping them separated has been an issue. But we've been keeping busy with crafts and music and books and all of those lovely things that anyone who has a toddler is doing. I would say one of the wins for our family has been planning out themed meals where we can pick recipes that we like and everyone is helpful and makes food together and dresses up. And it's just been a fun time. My hope is that we're going to come out of this with some great memories under the circumstances, and that our communities and our friendships and our family bonds will be stronger for it.
All right, everybody. Joining us on the mics right now is my 12-year-old son, Isaiah. Hey, kiddo.
Hi, Mom.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, everybody keeps asking me that, and it's funny because I always smile a little and laugh and just go, I don't know. Because it's like, I don't know. I'm okay, I guess.
Yeah, it probably as okay as you can be in this time.
Yeah, which is what I want to talk to you about, honey, because, you know, with the people, the parents that we're talking to a lot through the website and through our community of parents, many of them, not all, but a large percentage of them have younger children. They're either preschool age or even younger, and for some, like early elementary school kids. And you are in sixth grade, and I want to talk with you specifically about how this whole time of shelter in place during, you know, the coronavirus pandemic, how that's been affecting you and how you've been kind of processing through it emotionally, things like that. So walk us through a little bit, just like how that first initial shock of, okay, going about your normal middle school life, all of a sudden, hey, guess what? You're not going to school anymore. You can't go out anywhere. All the things have been canceled. How did that feel at the beginning?
So at first on the bus ride home, after I knew that we were going to not be coming back to school, I felt so happy. And then I got to like week one. I got to like the week one point. And I was like, ugh, I hate this. Because all my things had been canceled. And I was just devastated at everything.
Why do you think you had such a shift from, oh my gosh, yay, this is gonna be so fantastic, to never mind, this sucks?
It's because after a while alone, you tend to go a little crazy because you can't see anybody else outside of there, so you're just like, oh.
So would you say for you the biggest challenge has been the social isolation, the fact that you, you know, you get so used to being around your friends and just peers all the time, and now you're just stuck with your brothers and me.
it kind of gets a little bit crazy after a little while.
So what have you noticed being some of the things that have been the most challenging? Because we've got 4 weeks under our belt now, and there have been plenty of times, no, for the audio, he's giving me the look right now, where we've kind of either come into conflict with one another, or we've had to kind of maneuver ourselves through some rather treacherous waters in terms of attitude and behavior and things like that.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
I think it's that I don't get a place to vent out my feelings. Like with my feelings, usually, if I'm in a show, Mom will agree with this, I usually have a better attitude.
And by a show, you mean you're involved in theater.
Yes, and so I'm involved with theater. And before this happened, I was in Les Miserables. I was starring as Gavroche. And for those three rehearsals, Mom really noticed a difference in my attitude. And then when this happened, it just went it plummeted. And so that's why.
But it's more than the fact that you're not able to be at your show right now. It feels like there are a lot of emotions and a lot of things that are like pent up in you right now, and they tend to lash out in more unexpected ways lately.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of new feelings of this, because it's not just my brothers that are just like being annoying, but it's just these new emotions where like I can't see any of my friends. That's insane. I hate it, and that's when that happens. And like, if they get too high up, I lash out.
And for a 12-year-old, it's hard enough to get you to think outside of yourself and, you know, thinking about other people. And then you put them in isolation. The eye roll right now. Oh my gosh. It's like, hi, I'm going to need you to think about somebody other than yourself, even though there's nobody else that you're really encountering ever. So what are some things that we've done well over the last 4 weeks that have made it survivable?
Just being there. And whenever we are like that, you're going, well, I get it that this is happening, and it's okay to let these feelings out, but don't let them go out too far. Also giving me space when I need it, to just like read my book or something like that in my room, just like giving me space. I think those are some good things that you've done.
What about some missteps? I'm not like saying like, hey, call out your mom on the way she's messed up, but like, you know, what are some steps that are, and some choices that I've made that have been a little bit more difficult for you?
It's like when you guys get pent up and like you lash out, that's the biggest thing, because we all feel bad for making you feel all that stress. So we feel sad that we've done that, and it's just awful. It's awful to feel.
I'm sorry that I've made you feel that way.
It's fine. I get it. It happens.
And I think this kind of comes back to what you were saying in terms of something that we've done right is, you know, and I want to encourage other parents in that too. Like, we're, as much as we say that we are all in this together and we're all figuring this out as we go, you know, our kids are in this with us. And being honest about how we're struggling with it, I think is really helpful for you guys, especially, you know, tweens and teens, as you know, you're struggling with this too, and you're dealing with it in a transitioning into an adult sort of way. And so the more that we adults can be honest with our teens and tweens about how much it kind of sucks and what's hard for us, I think the more that gives you license to admit and talk about and be honest with how much it sucks for you too.
Yeah. Thanks.
I love you.
Love you too.
All right, everybody. I hope this episode has left you feeling encouraged and a reminder that you are not alone. And to wrap up our episode today, I want to leave you with a little audio compilation. We asked our Milwaukee Mom Writer team to ask their kids the question, what's the first thing you want to do when quarantine is over? And put together a little video with their kids' responses, as well as some of the adults' responses as well. So we're going to share the audio from that video to end this episode. And as you listen to these little voices talk about the things that they miss and the things that they look forward to doing, it just can't, you can't help but put a smile on your face. So think about that. We're holding on to the hope that we're going to get to do these things again someday very soon. We are, in fact, in this together, everybody. Hang in there, and we'll see you on the other side of this thing.
I want to play again.
Okay, what else would you want to do? Would you want to go? Where would you want to go?
I want to go over and over to a house. Over and over and over and over and over.
I would play with my best friend Luke and maybe go to a movie.
I would meet my mom at the corners of Brookfield, give her a huge hug, and then go shopping.
Get a park!
You want to go to the park?
Yeah. See friends.
You want to see friends?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The one thing I cannot wait to do once we're allowed to go outside again is sit in a patio with my friends, enjoying some drinks, and going out for dinner.
The first thing I'm gonna do after quarantine is I'm gonna go ice skating.
I think that the thing that I want most is to do Les Miserables again.
Definitely going to go to Venture to have some beers with friends. And lastly, planning a much needed family vacation.
Let's go in Grampy's house.
Go to Target to look at the toys.
Yay! When quarantine is over, I'm gonna hang out with friends and go get ice cream. I'm gonna have some friends over and then I'm gonna try to convince my parents to let us go to the beach.
When this is all over, I'm looking forward to going to the zoo and the beer garden.
Have a
birthday party. First thing I want to do is go swimming with my cousin because I love my cousins.
First thing I'm gonna do when quarantine is over is get my eyebrows waxed.
Quarantine gets over, I really just kind of want to go back to school. I wouldn't normally want to, but I kind of miss going to school.
I want to go on the trail down by the woods and think how free I am and say hi to other people and feel great and feeling that that I know that they don't have the coronavirus.
The first people I want to see is my grandma and her dog, Dilly.
First thing I'm going to do when we get out of quarantine is I'm going to get a big group of my friends together and we're going to go somewhere, eat outside, have chips and queso and guac and salsa and margaritas.
When I get out of quarantine, I'm going to go see my friends and do a lot of things with them.
So, the first thing I want to do when quarantine is over is see Camden because I haven't seen him in a long, long time.
I will take a long weekend vacay away from my kids. I love you.
I want to you.
I know, I love you, but I need a break.
I don't want you to take a break.